a great man once said, that of all the experiences of his life that he could remember, there was nothing that gave him such unmixed joy as when on a crowded street of a great city, a little child looked up into his face, put his tiny hand into his great big one and said, "Please, mister, take me across the street to the other side." It was an honor to that strong man to take that trusting child across the street to the other side. And as we think about that, little children might have problems crossing streets, but are there not streets for us to cross as well? Some difficulty that we must meet, and we need a strong arm to take us over to the other side. Put your hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple confidence in Him will delight his heart. Kept by the power of God. As we look at His words here, beginning of not just of the verse 22 that we started to read, but I would like to concentrate our thoughts on verses 27, 28, and just barely touch on verse 29. But if you look at these verses, observe first of all that Christ knows us. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Believers are called sheep. Now, I don't know if you like being called a sheep or whether you feel offended to be called a sheep. But Jesus calls believers sheep. The analogy actually is a good one. If I am a sheep, then the Lord is my shepherd. And that is a good thing to realize. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not have lack of anything. And so, our Lord says we are sheep, not goats. The unbelievers are called goats. But that are believers. We are called sheep. Now, in our Lord's day, shepherds had a very close contact with the sheep. Every day they had to look after the sheep. Every day they had that need. The sheep were there. The shepherds were there looking after them. It was pretty much like a 24-hour job. Looking after the sheep, making sure that the sheep had something to eat, make sure that they have something to drink every day. They kept them clean. They even sometimes gave their sheep names to be able to keep up to them, with them. And we might have a problem with that if all these sheep, they all look alike. Well, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? For those of you who are Chinese, all Western people look alike. And for those of us who are Angmo, all the Chinese people look alike. Till you get to know them. And then you realize that there are differences. And I suppose it is the same way with sheep. To us, all sheep look alike. But to the shepherd, he can tell different sheep. This one may have a little brown spots or may have something a little bit walking with a little bit funny way, and they just are able to tell which sheep is which. Behavior, character, they're all there. But the sheep are looked after very well by the shepherd. As a matter of fact, if a sheep strayed, the shepherd would go looking for it and would it bring back into the fold. Remember, we have that story that Jesus tells about 99, and one sheep went off by itself. Well, 99 came back safely to the fold, but one was missing, and the shepherd went to look for it. So you see that over the years, the shepherd developed a very close relationship with the sheep. At night time, they would bring him into the sheepfold. And that was basically just four walls with an opening in one of the walls for a door, but there was no actual physical door. If the shepherd himself would lay down right there and would serve as the door, and any sheep want to get out, they have to step on the shepherd, who I presume would wake up and say, back in. So it was a very close relationship there. The shepherd knows the sheep. But just as the shepherd knows the sheep, the Lord knows us. My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus, and I know them. Not I know about them, but he knows them. You know, I say about them because sometimes we know about people, especially people in positions of authority, you know, whether it be a prime minister or a queen. We all know about the queen, but I'm not sure that any of us have ever met her, never had a chance to talk to her, you know, really get to know her. No, we don't really get to know her. We only know about her. But when it comes to the shepherd, he really knows his sheep. And the Lord really knows us. He knows all about us. We might say he knows us intimately. Being part of the flock is being part of the family. And that's the relationship that the shepherd has to the sheep and that the Lord has with the believer. Which reminds me, does Christ know you? Because he only knows those who believe on him. The others I mentioned already, they're goats, but he knows believers. Are you one of his sheep? In other words, are you saved? Because it's only when you are saved that you have that relationship with the shepherd, the good shepherd. That great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Each one of them, individually. He knows us by name. He knows what we do, what we don't do. He knows our thoughts. He sees our every action. That is the shepherd we have. He knows us intimately. But notice something else too, the last part of verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. What that is really saying is that Christ expects obedience from us. What did Jesus say that his sheep do, his followers do? He said they listen to his voice and follow him. Now during the day, he's intimately caring for the sheep. And because of the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, they get to know each other very well. And one thing that the sheep get to know well is the voice of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. They get used to what his voice sounds like. So much, as a matter of fact, that when the shepherd calls for a sheep, they go to him. Why? Well, they know the shepherd's voice, and they know that the shepherd is going to take care of them. There was an American tourist went to Israel, and as he was there, he had the opportunity to spend some time with some shepherds that were there. And one of the shepherds he was with was actually quite perturbed because some of his sheep were missing. He knew how many he had, and he could tell right away, this number is not right. Some of my sheep have disappeared. And the shepherd told this American visitor to come with him to the market to go and find his sheep. The tourist was wondering why the shepherd thought his sheep would be at the market. And he explained that he was certain that another shepherd had snatched some of his sheep. And he was going to try and sell them at the market. Now this fellow tourist out there was wondering how this shepherd was going to be able to distinguish which sheep were his and which were some other shepherds. Because to us, who are certainly not insiders, all sheep look alike. Well, they arrived at the market. Sheep were everywhere. And so how in the world is he going to find if there are any of his sheep here? Well, the shepherd walked into the middle of the crowd and began to call out after his sheep. And before long, there was movement among the sheep, and a herd of sheep came walking over to their shepherd. Tourist was absolutely amazed. And he asked the shepherd, how the sheep knew to come? And the shepherd simply said, the sheep know my voice. And so he was able to call them. They came out. My sheep know my voice. Although the sheep had been taken by a thief, once they heard their shepherd's voice, they responded to him. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to get across here. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to respond to his voice. And you will be obedient to the leadership of Jesus if he really is your shepherd. As Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Not just that they hear it and goes in one ear, goes out the other ear, but they hear it and they act upon it and they follow him. Now, that isn't saying that it's always easy to be a follower of Christ. It's not saying that you always want to do what Christ is leading you to do. Sometimes it's hard to follow the Lord. We've seen that over the years. The people have been killed because of their faith in Christ, the martyrs. But they said, we are going to follow him, even if it costs us our life. And over the years, many have given their life because of their faith and trust in Christ. You know, it's good if we can come to a point in our life that when we see what Jesus is doing and what he wants us to do in our life. You know, it's like the man with the flowers or the fruit trees who does some pruning. You prune your rose bushes, don't you? Or maybe get somebody to do it for you. And you cut off and you cut off and you cut off. And pretty soon there's just a few little pieces of wood sticking up there. And you say, how is that ever going to become a nice looking rose bush with some good flowers? That's all necessary so that we can have better looking flowers. It's necessary to cut back. And, you know, sometimes with our Lord, it may be in a similar way. Even though, you know, doing this is going to hurt, even though it's going to cost, we should still do what our Lord says. We should be obedient to him. Because his way is always the best way. It may be difficult. Why should I do this? Why should I do that? Well, the Lord works. He works in us. We know that ultimately all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny yourself. Not I, but Christ. Remember that verse, Galatians? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's not I. It is Christ. There is that self-denial to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You might ask, what is the guiding force in your life? What is it that gives you direction concerning how you are going to live? Are you obediently following the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ? See, if you look at it, He said, you know, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He knows us. We are to follow Him obediently. But then, He also goes on to say that He keeps us. Verse 28 in particular, and then also going on to verse 29, where Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does Christ say that He gives you? "I give unto them eternal life." That's what He gives. Eternal life. He gives it. It's not something that I can earn. It's not something I can work for. It's not something that I can buy. It's not something that I deserve to get. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. "And I give," says Jesus, "unto them eternal life." Think of a verse like Ephesians chapter 2, verses that you are familiar with, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then, think too of Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's a gift. "I give unto them eternal life." By the way, how long does eternal life last? Somebody said, ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. Eternal life? Well, obviously, eternal life lasts for eternity. Well, if eternal life lasts for eternity, can a person lose eternal life? In other words, can a person lose his salvation? Well, pretty obvious, isn't it? If you lose it, it was not eternal to begin with. Because if it's eternal, it's eternal. I can remember friends having problems with that. Thought you could lose your salvation, so we went to the pastor. I was still a student at that time, Bob Jones University. And the pastor said, "Well, Can you quote John 3:16? Yes, Pastor, we can do that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What kind of life? Everlasting life. How long is that? Everlasting. That's right, everlasting. Now, if you lost it next year, was it everlasting? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life for 2 years. No. Everlasting life. The very expression, everlasting life, indicates that it is everlasting. Eternal life, or everlasting life, is for eternity. It is everlasting. Now, there are some people that say, well, I can lose my own salvation. You cannot. Because we are kept by the power of God. These words, by the way, kept by the power of God, come from Peter. All right, 1 Peter. But Jesus says what? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Never means never. They shall never perish. Not that they'll have eternal life for 2,000 years, and then, well, that's the end of that. Then you will perish. No, Jesus says, never perish. And then he adds, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, it's like when you put something in your hand. It's there. Now, if you ask somebody to open your hand, depends. If it's somebody who's very strong, he probably just opens your hand right up and takes it out. But now picture a 2-year-old and you have a sweet. Shouldn't give sweets to 2-year-olds, but that's besides the point. You know, you say, if you can open my hand, you can have it. They'll never get it. Because your hand is too strong. It's safe. They'll never get it. Now, if we consider that God is all-powerful, he is omnipotent. He is the all-powerful God. Do you think anybody can open that hand of God? No way. Totally impossible. Safe in the hand of Jesus. Kept not by my power, not by your power, but kept by the power of God. So Jesus says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he asked, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So first of all, it says, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. And then he asked even more, no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus makes it very, very clear. We are safely in his hand. And then he asks that we are safely in his Father's hand. A busy mother was overheard one time. Her two daughters, young daughters, they were talking together. And one asked the other daughter, how do you know you are safe? And the second one replied, because I'm holding Jesus tight with both of my hands. Well, that is not safe, said the other one. Suppose the devil came along and cut off your two hands. Rather drastic, isn't it, for little girls to be talking like that? And the little sister was momentarily troubled. And then her face suddenly beamed with joy. Oh, I forgot! Jesus is holding me, and Satan could not cut off his hands, so I am safe. And that's right, safe. That's confidence, isn't it? I'm in the hands of God. Nobody's going to cut his hands off. That's the kind of confidence that Christians can have when they look into the face of death. We need not fear death. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because we're kept by the power of God. We need not be overwhelmed by fear, because Christ knows us and Christ keeps us. We belong to God and we are kept safe in the arms of Jesus. We are kept by the power of God. To put it in the words of the songwriter Fanny Crosby, and I presume that many of you are familiar with that hymn that she wrote, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love overshared, sweetly my soul shall rest." How true. We are safe in the arms of Jesus because we are kept by the power of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank thee for that assurance that we have, that we are kept by the power of God, safe in the arms of Jesus, who has told us that no man shall be able to pluck us out of his hand. Lord, we thank thee that as thy children, that thou dost know us, that we, as thy children, follow thee obediently, and that we are kept by thee, by the power of God, safe in the arms of Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.